Happy Tuesday, everyone. I'm Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International, and this is the CDH Radio Show. On this week's episode, we are meeting the family of Ryan Williams. His parents are being interviewed by Tracy Meads, our support division president. And his parents, Gene and Brian, are going to tell us about their family's journey dealing with CDH.
Hello, I am here with Gene and Brian Williams. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves? Tell me a little bit about yourselves and tell me about the first time you heard the words congenital diaphragmatic hernia.
I'm Jean, Ryan's mom. And the first time that we heard that phrase was after our son was diagnosed in utero and my husband reached out to a specialist, Kristen Gosnell, in California. And she actually informed us of what the name was of this birth defect.
What was like? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Brian Williams. Pretty much the same thing. My mother-in-law happened to, I was working, my mother-in-law happened to go to the 16-week checkup with Jean. And I remember Jean calling and telling me that that the doctor wanted to speak to us. So, you know, I wasn't there. It was over the phone and I just had kind of a bad feeling, you know, 16 weeks, everything should have went A-okay. And, you know, the doctor wants to talk to us. So she pretty much even explained really what was going on, just that his diaphragm didn't form and that, you know, she highly recommended termination. So, you know, at that time, you know, my wife's with my mother-in-law and we meet, I leave work, we come back at home and on the way that she was coming back from, her OBGYN appointment, I happened to get in touch with the nurse, Kristen, and was able to get Jean finally on a three-way call. And Kristen was great at kind of letting us know everything that was going on and, you know, don't jump to anything too quick. And, you know, she calmed us down and got all our records and, you know, steered us in the right direction.
Did you guys stay there locally then in a hospital or did you guys relocate for care?
So what we were going to do is, there was talks of doing a balloon occlusion first. They didn't think it was, that necessary at the time. So we wound up, we're in Queens and, you know, we're lucky here in New York that we you know, there's tons of hospitals around. And, we were steered to go towards the Children's Hospital in New York, which is about an hour and a half ride from us in, Washington Heights from where we are.
Okay. How was your pregnancy from diagnosis? How was your progress of the pregnancy?
Well, I found out sooner than many pregnant women do here because I actually have a birth defect myself called uterine didelphys. Okay. So I found that out as a teenager that I have two of every female organ, including two uterine horns.
Okay.
So because of that, we found out sooner than I think most find out if for those that do find out when they're pregnant, because all of my sonograms were high risk. So through our research, I've heard that many pregnant women, you know, back then 5 years ago, find out at their 20-week full anatomy scan. Mm-hmm. I found out at my 16-week scan. So so that was a bit of a blessing and a bit of a, you know, extremely worrisome time that we were living in.
Sure it was.
And then after 16 weeks and, you know, we, like I refer to our journey as just tons and tons of angels on earth that we met, the first one being Kristen Gosnell. And after she gave us so much faith and, you know, to be, I remember the term cautiously optimistic, be cautiously optimistic. That was like the driving term throughout. And then once we got in the, right hands at, Children's Hospital of New York, Columbia in Washington Heights. Then I was under, you know, another high-risk care, Dr. Simpson at Choney. And you know, and then we just got lined up with everything. It was a bit of a whirlwind with, you know, the tour of the NICU and, you know, meeting with who would be our son's surgeon, Dr. Duran, the ultimate superhero. that he saved our son's life and you know, and everywhere through there. So it was, I don't want to say that it was, it could have been traumatic, but I decided to rely on my faith and my prayers and my angels above and you know, and my husband too, you know, kept us strong going. And we got through it. And now we have a very healthy, happy, rambunctious 5-year-old.
That's wonderful. Tell me a little bit about the day that he arrived. Were you guys set for an induction, C-section? Did he come naturally?
Oh, it's actually pretty funny. So I'm a New York City fireman, and one of the firehouses where we lost a couple guys back in 1978 is the firehouse that I work in. So Ryan's due date was August 4th, and this mass is on August 2nd. Yeah, every year for the past 40 or so years, we've always been with the family going to church. And afterwards, we usually go out and, you know, just have a couple of drinks, grab some lunch. I just had a bad feeling, you know, we went out to Coney Island. I went out with the guys and I just kind of wanted to go. And I really wasn't having too much to drink. And it was always in the back of my head. I wound up getting a ride back with them close to Brooklyn, wound up getting my car and just had a bad feeling. I came home and, about an hour after I came home, Gene said the water broke, and we had to make the trek out to Columbia.
You said that was an hour and a half drive for you guys.
About an hour and a half drive, yeah.
And thank God it wasn't. Was the Yankee games? They were because it's right by Yankee.
It's right by Yankee Stadium, so that would have been almost one of the times where they were letting out by the time we got there. So, but you know, luckily we were able to get there a little quicker than normal.
Right. Well, tell me what happened when you guys arrived.
So we arrived. We first went to the maternity, what's the room? I forgot the name of the room. We went to go check if I truly was in labor, and I was truly in labor. So I was like, oh, wow. You know, we were first time parents, you know? So that was,
I think the best way to explain it is we went into that hospital as if we were treated as if we were high rollers in Atlantic, in like Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, you walked right in, they knew what was going on. They were That's aware, right into a room. Obviously it was, you know, our first child and, you know, really didn't know what to expect, but they really laid out the red carpet for, you know, I mainly think it's, you know, they had like an asterisk next to it that Ryan was going to be, you know, he was a CDH child and, right, you know, that it was their utmost importance, you know, to get him taken care of.
And it's interesting in the midst of our pregnancy, in the midst of my pregnancy as well, of course we were doing our research and Kristen Gosnell directed us, and, you know, we were reaching out and looking into CHOP in Philly. And like Brian mentioned, the balloon, potential balloon
inclusion
that could have potentially, which I didn't end up needing. But we were ready to go to California. We were ready to move to CHOP. We were ready to do whatever we needed to get our baby here safely. And I remember that one of my very good friends whose daughter has cystic fibrosis, and she's been through the, you know, rigmarole when her daughter was a baby and she was pregnant at all. And she said, we're just very fortunate to be in New York. We had an hour and a half. You, one of your questions was, do we need to relocate? A lot of families do. We are just so grateful that we were only an hour and a half from where we needed to be at that moment and not needing to travel anywhere. Like, people come to New York to get the best care, and here we are that we have it. So we're fortunate in that aspect.
We noticed that a lot too, you know, when we joined the CDH International group on, you know, the support group on Facebook, you know, we noticed that, you know, a lot of people are having either re-herniations or they relocated already and didn't know who to speak to. And, you know, it kind of made us, you know, we try to get on and offer our advice and, you know, everything that we've been through, because we relied on, you know, this CDH International to, you know, to steer us in the direction of other families that have been through it. And, you know, we were just so fortunate to, you know, I was kind of complaining. We had an hour and a half ride home, you know, to the hospital, when there was other people at that hospital, the same one that drove 4 hours,
right,
you know, just to go there. So.
Yeah, we had two families that, two moms of CDH Miracle Boys themselves, Karen Sr. and Maria Breslin, who were just, I don't know if you're familiar with their names.
I am.
They are godsends. Like they, I probably would have had, I could get teary at saying it, I probably would have had severe, post
postpartum depression.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. It's 10 p.m. our time here. Don't mind me. I would have had severe, and I truly did not. And I really attribute it to the great mom friends that I made who walked me through every step that was going to happen. So everything, every time that something happened, I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen next. Like, I was more than prepared. Didn't make it any, you know, I don't know what it's like to have a baby that you go home with right away. Even our second also spent some time in the NICU. But I mean, in terms of given the hand we were dealt, it was great to be forewarned of everything that was happening.
That's good. Both those ladies are amazing ladies to have as friends. Are.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what happened right after he arrived. Was he stable? Did they intubate? Did you hear him cry?
So she had an epidural a little late. So, right after he came, you know, we didn't know the sex of him. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, Gene, I'm okay with it. I kind of wanted to get the room ready. Is it going to be a boy? Is it going to girl? What are we going to do? Close. Gene wanted, it was like your last true surprise. It could really know it was a surprise.
That's special.
Yeah, with everything with everything going on and, everything in the back of our heads, Gene was like, what is it? So I was like, oh, it's a boy. And they kind of rushed me pretty quick to cut the umbilical cord. There was a lot of things that they needed to be done. So he was kind of taken right out and he was brought into the transitional intensive care unit. He was intubated. I guess they started doing the IVs and whatnot, what they needed to do. I think it was maybe we didn't see him for 9 hours after birth. And then we were allowed to go into the NICU. But again, that hospital in particular that we went to, we were prepared to see our child in that NICU along with everyone else's child. And at the time, they also had, because they went over ECMO with us and everything like that. And during one of the visits through the NICU, one of the children was on ECMO. So we were able to be forewarned of, the possibilities of what would happen. Right. So, then after that, we pretty much stayed at the hospital, pretty much until he came home.
Right. So tell me, how long was it before he had his CDH repaired?
5 days.
5 days.
5 days.
And right before that, we have friends and family like anybody else, and want to try to make it as normal as possible, the best experience given the hand that we were dealt. And the NICU nurses were great. And we had friends and family come in and they said hello. And then it was like two or three days after Ryan was born, he wound up spiking a fever. So, then we wound up, only thing in our head was that it was just going to prolong the surgery now. Mm-hmm. So we kind of stopped all family visits and, just kept it to Gene and I, and it wound up being 5 days after birth was when his repair was.
Okay. Did he need the ECMO at all?
No.
No.
Gene's a runner, so there happened to be a restaurant bar right down the block. It's just recently closed, but it was called Coogan's, mm-hmm. and it was a runner's themed bar. So we decided that, we just can't sit in the hospital. We know the surgery is going to be long. They'll call us if anything happens. And we wound up getting there. We just ordered food or something to drink. And right away, it was a phone call from the surgeon's office saying that he had to do an open repair, that he wouldn't be able to go in thoracoscopic. So, mm-hmm. That kind of started off the first 20 minutes of us sitting down where, we were in hopes that it was going to be thoracoscopic, but it was wound up being worse than the surgeon originally thought, so they had to do the open surgery.
During the open surgery, did they have to use a patch, or were they able to just suture him back up?
I believe they used a patch.
Yeah,
they
used a patch. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long was his surgery?
I don't remember.
Too long,
I imagine.
Not that I'm complaining. I'm grateful they do what they had to do, but as a parent, it was, it was a long,
I'd probably say it was definitely over 10 hours because I remember it was probably like in the morning or late morning, 10, 11 o'clock. And I definitely remember it was night out by the time we see the surgeon afterwards.
How was his journey after his repair from there to the end of his NICU journey? How was that?
He was there for, I believe, 37 days. I remember he came home on, I think, September 10th. September 10th, and he was born on August 3rd. So he was there a little over a month. Mm-hmm. And his journey was, I think, was for the most part, I don't want to say par for the course, because some people have much worse journeys, and I don't want to, you know, and some people I think go through much faster. I do remember that he had suck, swallow, breathe was like a big, you know, right. big cheer chant that I kept doing with him. I feel like it was pretty much everything.
It seemed like in a hospital, it was just like a never ending hurdle, you know, in the beginning, you know, and, you know, we read the Facebook posts and we comment where we can to be supportive. And it kind of seems like our spat with CDH, where, you know, our child, you know, now has no restrictions. But we remember when we first there, and it was, okay, he's got to have 2 ounces of food. Okay. And he wouldn't do it. So now we're like, mm-hmm. This is an entire setback. You know, we're not getting out of here. And then, you know, the 2 ounces lasted for a couple of days, and then that went to, you know, 10 ounces. And then, you know, whatever it was like that last hurdle on that fourth week that we really just wanted to
76 mLs. I still remember the number 76 right. mLs was what he needed to drink to be able to leave. And then that was like a big thing too, like keeping baby wipes on like the back of his neck on the back, just to keep him awake to get through the feeding. Right. Like, just like, come on, you know,
the poor kid was so tired, you know, from having food shoved down him that he didn't, he would just right. fall asleep.
And I we remember knew if we, those got
seven, if we got to 76 milliliters, we know that we would be able to go home. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're real lucky with, you know, all the outcomes, you know, with no type of, you know, setbacks or any type of, he has no restrictions. And, you know, so, you know, we truly are lucky.
Did he stay on the vent very long, or did he come off quickly after surgery?
So he was, obviously he was immediately intubated right after he was born. I believe mm-hmm. For a total of 2 weeks, he was intubated, and then he was on CPAP maybe for about a week and a half. And then after CPAP, we wound up, cause we started coming like closer to home. We were staying at hotels in the city. And then we found that Fort Lee, New Jersey was 5 minutes away from the hospital, where we were going all over Manhattan to get in the hospital thinking that we would be closer. But, you know, I think we wound up getting home, and I think we got a phone call from the hospital saying that, hey, we weaned him on and off CPAP all day. Yeah, he's good. He's not on it anymore.
Oh.
So, you know, that was like, you know, a shining light that, you know, this and, you know, the end of the tunnel is near.
Right. And he wasn't on oxygen very long then.
No.
That's great. That's wonderful. He's a fighter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the homecoming day like for you guys?
It was very, very special. I remember when we were driving home past one community before we got to where we live in Rockaway. And it generally is like, you know, congested, is like one road in, one road out. Mm-hmm. And I said to Brian, I'm like, I can't believe it. And he's like, yeah, I know, the traffic is so bad. I'm like, no, I'm not talking about the traffic. I can't believe he's with us. Like, it just was so surreal. So surreal that, you know, we finally were able to bring our baby home, and just so special. And I just feel like as a NICU parent, you just appreciate, not that moms who bring their baby home on day two don't appreciate. Of course, we all appreciate our blessings. But I feel like you just appreciate everything so much more. You know, mm-hmm. So the homecoming was super special. My mom and Brian's mom, my mother-in-law, you know, decorated and had everything ready for us. And, you know, and they were, of course, so excited to get their hands on their grandson, a little miracle right. man. And, you know, so they came, my brother and sister-in-law came with the cousin, my niece and nephew. So they were excited to be big cousins. And it was a really, really, really special day.
That's neat. That's very special for you guys. What has life been like since you've been home from the NICU? What have the last 5 years been like?
Normal.
Yeah. I don't know. I babe so much. You know, it seems like you know, we have a 2.25-year-old. He's going to be 3 in you know, in 2 or 3 weeks. He was also in the NICU. He was 4 weeks premature. You know, his brothers got him beat. He was there 40 days. You know, his little brother was only there 10. But I don't know. I think, like, I baby him too much. I think, you know, when he falls, it's always, you know, oh, is everything okay? Did you, you know, is your stomach hurt? You know, that's always in the back of my mind. When, you know, the 2-year-old falls now, he just, if there's a scraped knee with blood, he he just wipes it off and he gets on his bike and he keeps going. So
right,
you know, it's always in the back, you know, because he wound up losing a lung lobe because of the surgery, you know, because of the hernia on his left side. So, which we really didn't even know until the surgeon contacted us with everything going on with COVID. And, you know, I didn't look, you get a stack of papers at 300 pages they're supposed to give to the pediatrician. And, you know, you're like, okay, here, you know? And, you know, so that it's in the back of my mind. I don't know if it's as much as in Gene's, but I know it's, I always kind of, everything he does, just make sure that, you know, I babe him maybe a little too much.
I can see that. I can see that with the boys. I have four boys, and I think I treat my CDH son a little bit differently than the other three. They're special warriors for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So has he had any complications, you know, with having the smaller lung?
Well, in the beginning, we thought, what was he having trouble eating? Where we thought that there was acid reflux involved. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I don't know how it is in other hospitals that do the CDH surgeries, but in the Children's Hospital in New York, what they do is when we go for our yearly checkup, it's usually in April. It was delayed because of COVID last year. We went September, but usually in April. And I kind of like the way they do it. They have a expecting parent of a child with CDH. And then there's usually another one that's like 2 or 3 years old. Then, you know, 2, 3, or 4. Then there's another one that's 7, 8, 9. Then there's, you know, ones that are older, because they said that Ryan's going to have to go once a year till he's 18. So there's usually someone at like 17 and 18. And we're kind of sitting in the room together. And I think they're doing that to give confidence to the expecting parent to say, hey, look at this. These are kids of all different ages that are here to do their yearly checkup with, you know, the surgeon or the cardiologist, the GI doctor. And one of the parents that was there was, they wanted to do the 24-hour probe to monitor his acid levels. And we opted not to. And we just think it was just something that a kid was going through eating, you know. And, they put us on medicine just as a precaution, but we don't even really think that there was really too much of an issue then.
And they did say he's doing so well. Like when I say, like, you know, I don't really worry with complications now. I just, my faith takes over. I feel like we've been through it. He's doing great. That was then. This is now. He's a functioning, healthy, happy 5-year-old. And that's just how I see him. I just, you know, and they actually said at the last CDH clinic that he's doing so well. We could skip.
Yeah, we skip next year.
So yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So he's doing really well.
That's wonderful. Is he playing any sports yet? He's getting at that age where he can play the T-ball or the.
Yeah. Well, there's a big hockey family here. So
are you?
2 years ago, I had him, I got him skating on the ice. So this is his second year.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Is there anything else you guys would like to add about your journey with Ryan?
No, I think that was pretty much all about it.
Do you guys
my main thing is never take a doctor's first word of aborting. There's always, in my opinion, and through our experience, there's always a way. Like my husband recently said with something else, there's no such thing as impossible. You know,
right.
The word itself says I am possible. I added that, he didn't say that. But I just would say, like, to any expectant parents, that's like my main message that I always would love to get across to every expectant parent. Of course, there's some times that, you know, but I just feel like there's always, I just find, you know, through our experience, there's always a,
you know, I'll be honest with you. I think, you know, just kind of on like a different note, you know, if other parents who see this or, you know, to get a second opinion, call the professionals, call the people that deal with this, you know, definitely the international, you know, because it's people that have kids of all ages that have been through this stuff. And, you know, I wish we knew about you guys when we were first expecting, you know, to bounce questions off people. And because the, you know, the, out this 16 week, and I'm not saying anything, you know, about the doctor, and understanding that it's, you know, it's her job to give you percentages and what good looks good and doesn't look good. She really didn't know too much about it, you know, and that was one of the downfalls, because if we just happened to took her, you know, her opinion, you know, I don't know what would have happened. And, you know, we did some research. Thank God we were in the time of, you know, iPhones and internet and Google. And, you know, if this was maybe 20 years ago, we wouldn't have all that at the palm of our hands. And, you know, we were able to find somebody to steer us in a direction. And, all she said was the lung to head ratio was less than one and that he had a hole in his diaphragm. So, you know, my wife was, you know, obviously we were all upset. My wife was upset. My mother-in-law, you know, she was driving back from Long Island. And I was just Googling hole in diaphragm, and congenital diaphragmatic hernia kept popping up. And I'll be honest with you, we never heard of it. And, if there's parents that do, hear these news, that you just have to do, unfortunately, you have to do your own research.
I agree. That is very good advice from both of you. I greatly appreciate you guys taking the time tonight to share Brian's story and to continue to raise awareness in his honor. And we are always here for you guys.
No, we appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Take care.
I am Rector Ryan.
Thank you so much for joining us again this week. We are so honored to share stories of these amazing children born with congenital diaphragmatic hernia. If you would like to share your family's journey, please go to www.cdhi.org/share-your-story, and we would love to raise awareness and share your family's journey with CDH on our radio show, on our telethon, on our social media, and on our website. So have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Stand up for the land, Jimmy.